Well, I would ask you to turn your Bible to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, a very well-known passage of Scripture. There is an English word that we use occasionally called, that is the word anointed. In the Old Testament, in Hebrew, that word is Messiah. In the New Testament, in Greek, that word is Christ. So the word Christ and the word Messiah mean anointed in English. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the day was accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Jesus Christ, Jesus the Anointed One, Jesus the Messiah. Well, this is the time of the year when a lot of folks are gathering to be a part of singing Handel's Messiah. And we love it and we enjoy it. The word Messiah is only used two times in the Old Testament, both of those in Daniel chapter 9, one of them talking about the coming of Messiah who would give his life being cut off in the middle of a particular period of time. Then the second part of that, this Messiah who would be cut off, which we understand to be the death of Jesus Christ upon a cross, would reappear at a set time according to the word of God. So we have a Messiah that came, was cut off, and a Messiah that we are waiting yet to come. Now, there are those that do not believe that the first coming of Jesus Christ, that Jesus was the Messiah. I've had this conversation at the Western Wall in Jerusalem. There are Messianic Jews that certainly believe that Jesus is Messiah, but there are many that do not accept him as Messiah. They are waiting for Messiah yet to come. But according to what God's Word teaches, everything that was prophesied of a Messiah, a deliverer who would come, one who would come to rescue, is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. To Mary, the angel Gabriel made it very clear, you will bear the Anointed One. You will bear the Messiah. To the shepherds in the field outside of Bethlehem, the word was clear. The angel said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, which is the Messiah. To Simeon and Anna in Luke chapter 2, the Holy Spirit said, that's him. This is the one you've been waiting for, the long-awaited Jesus. To the Magi, they came looking for the one that was born King of the Jews. Even Herod demanded to know where the Christ, where the Anointed One would be born. Jesus claimed to be the Messiah. Some people say he didn't, but he claimed to be the Christ. And when he stood there in northern Israel and his disciples, and they had gone to Caesarea Philippi, and they'd seen all the statues and all the idols is what they looked at, representations of many different gods. Jesus put the question to his disciples, whom do men say that I am? Some say that you're Jeremiah. Some say that you're Elijah or one of the prophets. But whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, The disciples were confessing that day that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He was the anointed one. He's the one who came to save. He was the one who came to rescue. And of course, we know that centurion stood at the cross on the day that Jesus was crucified and said, "Surely this man is the Son of God." God's word tells us that someday every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is our Messiah. We're not looking for Messiah. Messiah has come. And to everyone that's opened their heart to Jesus and experienced the forgiveness of sin, the fullness of God's Holy Spirit in our lives, we understand that we have found the one that so many have looked for down through the ages. We have found the Messiah. Now, simple in our use of our word Messiah in our language, we really are basically saying this. We're looking for one who came to rescue. Some people have messianic complexes. They generally run for office at some point. And they think, okay, I am the one. I am the deliverer. I'm the one that you've been looking for. I'm going to get you all out of this mess. And as I thought about it this week, just what does a Messiah do? What does our Messiah do? I boiled it down to four very simple sentences. Number one, our Messiah came to bring us out. And then number two, our Messiah came to take us in. And number three, our Messiah came to put us back together. And number four, our Messiah came to raise us up. Now think about it. If he is our deliverer, the first thing he's come to do is to bring us out. You know, you get the idea of if you've watched the Ten Commandments and you've watched Charlton Heston go down into Egypt as Moses to stand before Pharaoh and to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, I'm certain that to them, Moses was the deliverer. He was a Messiah, a type of Messiah, and truthfully he was. He was a type of Christ, pointing toward a day when everybody would be brought out. Well, now, what is our condition? We are mired in sin. We're caught in the captivity of disobedience. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. We are down in this pit. Once we step down into the pit, we have no free will to get out of the pit. It demands that somebody comes and reaches down and pulls us out. And that is what Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has come to do. He has come to bring us out. And I know that's what happened in my life. Mired in sin, stuck in disobedience, until the day that I found Jesus Christ to be my Savior and understand that he came to deliver me from my sin. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. So he came down to bring us out, but he didn't just come down to bring us out. He came down to bring us in, into a relationship with him that had been broken in the garden. We were separated by our sins. But our Lord Jesus Christ saw us in death and is bringing us to life. And he saw us in darkness and he's bringing us to light. And Simon Peter would write in the first epistle of Peter, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation, that you should show forth the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You see what our Messiah did? He brought us out, that he might bring us in. And the only way a person can have a relationship with Jesus Christ and to be forgiven of all their sins is to trust in Jesus Christ, our Savior, who brought us back into relationship with God. But not only did he bring us out, and not only did he bring us in, he brought us together. He put all the pieces together. And so there are times when things break, you can't put them back together. Betty was putting out a nativity set, and there was a little bitty cup and bowl, and that was up on top of the bookshelf that she was going to put this nativity set on, and she dropped the saucer, and it broke, and she picked up and looked at the date on the bottom of it, and it had said, "Jean and Elizabeth, such and such date, 1950 or 1951. It was her mom and one of her mom and dad's wedding gifts. And so when it broke, here's the thing that is 66 years old, something like that, and it broke in a whole bunch of pieces, and she just simply said, "All the king's horses and all the king's men." You can't put some things back together. You break things, you can't put them back together. Well, when it comes to our life, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty together again. When it comes to our life, the fall of man had such a lasting effect upon us, such a devastating effect upon us, that everything that we could do, humanly speaking, could not put us back together. We can't get back into the garden. We can't but get back to where we own life. We can't do that on our own. We can't lift ourselves up on our own. But God, in sending His Son Jesus Christ in the world, has given us this opportunity to be done with that old life, and all the broken pieces are brought to Him, and He puts us back together. Harry Morehouse was a preacher in England about the time of Charles Dickens. And it was a tough time in England in those days. If you've read The Christmas Carol, you've read any of Dickens, then you understand just how tough it was. And it was hard to be a child, hard to be a kid. And so Morehouse said he was walking down the street in London one day, and this little boy came out of a dairy carrying a pitcher of milk. They didn't always come in gallon jugs. He's carrying a pitcher of milk to take it home, and as he watches him, he drops the pitcher, and it hits the pavement, and pieces of glass go everywhere, and milk goes everywhere. And so Morehouse just had compassion on the little fella and went down, and this little boy's sitting down on the curb, and as he's sitting there, he's saying, "My mama will whip me, my mama will whip me." And some of us have probably had some of those mama whippings at times like that. And so Morehouse said, "Son, your mama's not going to whip you. It's just you dropped the pitcher. My mama whip me. My mama whip me." And so Morehouse said, "Well, that's what we can see what we can do about it." So he began to pick up all these shards of pottery and put them all back together. He got everything just about back together, and then it just all fell apart. He started all over, got it all the way down to where all he had left was the handle to put together, and he stuck it in there, and when they stuck it in there, it all fell apart. The pitcher was ruined. So Morehouse took the little boy, and they went across the street to a place that sold pitchers, bought him another pottery pitcher, went back over to the dairy, filled it back up with milk, took the boy home, took him all the way to his doorstep and stood him there, and he said, "Now is your mama going to whip you?" And he said, "Oh, no, sir." He said, "We got a much better pitcher than we ever had to start with." You know, this is it. This is what Christ has done for us. More than just a pitcher. He's taken all the broken pieces of your life. A songwriter said, "Have you failed in the journey of the life that you're living? Have you failed?" Then you can just bring the broken pieces and give them to the Lord, because he takes those pieces and he makes us a brand new vessel. Jeremiah went down to the potter's shop, and he saw that the pottery became marred on the wheel, and then suddenly the potter started all over to make again a new vessel. This is what Jesus Christ, the Messiah, does. He brings us out that he might bring us in, that he might put us all back together again, and he's looking to that day when he will raise us up. You see, the story of our Messiah is not one that is restricted in a manger in Bethlehem. It's not just about a manger in Bethlehem. Some folks never get past Christmas. They never get past the manger. But you have to look past the manger and look toward the cross, because it was there on the cross that Jesus Christ suffered and died and gave his life for us. His body was broken, his blood was shed, that we might have remission of sins. And the promise is that in this life, he gives us a new life and he raises us up. But there is coming that day when our Lord Jesus himself, the Messiah, shall return from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise, and those of us who are alive at that time will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And God's word says, comfort one another with these words. It is because Jesus Christ is our Messiah that he got victory over death and hell and the grave, and ultimately he has given us a promise of heaven for all who trust in him, all who turn to him, that he will be your Messiah, bringing you out of that old life, bringing you into a new life, putting all the pieces back together, and giving you the promise of a home in heaven. What a Savior we have. I want to ask you to bow your head with me this morning. Some people have not accepted him as their Messiah. And to some of you this morning, you say, well, I hear what you say, Pastor, but he's not my Messiah. Oh, but dear friend, then where will you go for help? If you don't find your help in Jesus Christ, if you don't go to this one who is anointed of God to be our Savior, then where can you go? There's no place to go that'll bring you out and bring you in and bring you together until he brings you home. There's no one but Jesus Christ. He is our Messiah. And this morning, you can open your heart to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and save me. And Jesus has promised that to all who will call upon him, they will have a brand new life. God will bring you out. He will bring you into his family. He will heal the brokenness that's in your life. He will give you a promise of eternal life. Will you call upon him this morning?